Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and hallelujah. This is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show Self-Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. Welcome, everyone, whether you're calling via online or you're calling via phone. Thank you so much. And tonight, I have a special guest that's going to help me out, and it's going to be my wife, Sister Janice Hudson. The name is probably familiar, and she is from, you know, her very own show, which is Let's Talk About It, co-hosted. And so I'm going to be talking to my wife tonight. And Janice, please say hello to the audience tonight.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise Him. All right, all right. And later on this evening, she's going to be reading a scripture for me. And I thank Janice so much. Like I said, she's my wife, and we'll go ahead on with tonight's show. And so tonight's topic is, how come I don't have any money? Or better yet, in my terms, why am I not rich? So we're going to get started, and before we get started, just want to let everybody know that if you want to just know where the scriptures are coming from tonight's program, our first scripture is going to be coming from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15, Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, Proverbs verses 13 and 7, and John verses 6 and 12. And basically, through the outline of tonight's show, is I'm just going to let, you know, through basic portions, it's going to be management, knowledge, balance, and the cost. And yes, through every show, you know, that I do, I want to make sure that, you know, you have a full understanding of, you know, what I'm going to bring forth and what God has open the knowledge to me. And one of the things is that, you know, when I feel as though that I have a shortfall, or I feel as though that, you know, either I just don't have enough money or I'm out of money, sometimes I ask the basic question, how come I don't have money? And, you know, then I, you know, go to the ultimate question is, why am I not rich? You know, let's start at the beginning. You know, God trusts, you know, what you can manage. And if you can manage, you know, your pennies, God knows you can go on to manage dollars. And once you manage dollars, you know, you go on from the hundreds, and after hundreds, you know, you're going to become, you know, becomes the thousands, and so on and so forth. So, you know, as you can see, there's a pattern right there. And if you can't manage a small amount, and you don't know, you know, why you think you can't manage, you know, such a big amount, you know, let's just, you know, start right there. And, you know, right now, from when, you know, much is given, much is required, you know, you ask God for, you know, for a new house, and you have not, you know, kept the same house that you have had. You can't keep that clean. If you get a bigger house, what makes you think that you, you know, if you're asking for a bigger house, what makes you think you can keep that house, you know, clean? You're having a much more area. So if you can't keep manage a small amount of area, you know, what makes you think that you should be given something bigger if you can't handle, you know, such a small area? You know, so why would you ask for something bigger? Yes, you know, we should always ask for, you know, and always have an expectations, you know, in ourselves to have, you know, more. But, you know, if we can't, you know, manage, you know, small things, you know, how can we actually expect ourselves to actually handle something bigger? And, you know, what happens is, you know, through the micromanagement and the small management of things, we have to understand that ultimately, no matter what hands that we place them in, that if we're asking for more, we have to make sure that, you know, we meet the requirements of more. You know, we always will want more, but can we handle more? And that's the basic question that we have to make sure that we can answer right there from the start and the beginning. And right there from the beginning is, like I said, the first underline of my topic is basic management. Can we basically manage things? Basic management, you know, it starts from, you know, handling the smaller things. When we let smaller things get out of hand, it becomes a bigger problem because so many small things become compounded. And once we let small things compound, you know, all of a sudden we have a bigger problem because we're not handling, you know, what we had been handling in the beginning, which leads to multiple problems, which is the micro problems all of a sudden combine the one they become one big problem because we haven't handled or micromanaged the smaller problems. And like I said, it all starts out in the beginning, and it all starts out with something simple as far as asking for a bigger house or something bigger, or asking basically ourselves to, you know, maintain something that we have not demonstrated that we cannot handle on a smaller scale, you know. And when handling some things on a smaller scale, you say, hey, you know, this is seems so minuscule. I can handle this, you know, easily with no problem. But eventually when smaller things add up, it becomes a problem. And if anyone's listening online, let me just let you know that you can talk to me live while I'm on the air. And that phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And while I'm there on a topic, let me just briefly go back over my topic, just to get everybody familiar, if everybody's, you know, joining in just a little late, is how come I don't have any money? Or better yet, in my understanding, why am I not rich? And like I said, this has, you know, like I said, it all starts in the first outline that I said before is management. And as we move into management, as we dive in, like I said, you know, management is basically managing smaller things, because smaller things add up and it becomes a compound problem. We want to make sure that we do not leave into the equation that even though there are small problems and there are smaller things, that, you know, we make sure that we are able to manage the small things. And as we go on to the program, I'm going to let you know how small things add up. And what it is basically hidden, because the one thing that as our society and as our economy grows, it counts on us missing out on the smaller things. And the smaller things add up. You know, I know every once in a while you probably notice that around this time, because this is around the time where the seasons change, where you start to get more phone calls or solicitations, you probably get more knock on the doors about, you know, either changing phone companies, changing utility companies, or just someone coming and saying, and you see you saying, hey, I'm a new this company or a new that company. If you mind, can I see your bill or whatever? Can I see if I can match or lower your rates? Well, around this time of the year, you know, you're saying, hey, you know, most people like myself say, you know, look, I work, I don't have time to worry about that little bit minuscule or whatever savings you have to offer. Right now you're bothering me, or right now I just don't want to hear it. But sometimes you do need to hear it, because sometimes that little interference, that little interruption of that person coming in, you know, introducing to you, well, trying to ease itself into your life, could be somebody who's actually saving you something because they know something about your bill. That's the reason, the very reason why they are coming into your presence, because they know, because they have something that you're already using, and they're offering you something as far as a saving because they want to get introduced into your business. As far as, like I said, whether it be electricity, utilities, or phone service or cable service. These people already have the notion, they already know that you're already overspending. That's the very reason why they're at your doorstep. These are the very reasons why they're calling. And they're calling and trying to seek out people that know how to manage or micromanage some of the smaller things in their lives. So, you know, even though it seems to be originally annoyance, you know, if you pay attention and if you just give a second, then maybe they are actually there to help. And that's just part of management. Sometimes we have to make sure that we know that, you know, the presence of certain things and certain elements is in our life. We want to see if we can maintain and incorporate, you know, what is actually helpful and dispel what is not. And sometimes where it seems that, especially at extreme times, like we may be in our house cooking. We may have just got home. We may just be ready to step into the shower and someone's knocking on the door or someone's calling your phone. And, you know, when you answer it or you answer the door, it's not the kind of mode you want to get into. Your relaxation mode, you're in the mode of something else, or you're just, you know, just chilling out with the family. So, you know, when we were created, God wanted us to be able to, you know, self-manage ourselves. Now, we had to really start at, you know, reading the Bible. And because of this, you know, it all starts in Genesis, basically, you know, in the beginning. So, you know, we can know that, you know, no matter, you know, whatever the situation is, we have the ability to self-manage ourselves. It was clear, and, you know, basically in Genesis, it wasn't spelled out, you know, to a letter of what was expected us to do as far as part of this self-management. You know, and what he wanted done, basically, is it all starts in Genesis. So real quickly, I'm just going to read Genesis, and like I said, I gave the scripture out earlier in the show. So before I go into this scripture, and let me just, you know, just let everybody catch up in case somebody's, you know, behind or whatever. So we're going to go into Genesis chapter 2, verses 15. After that, I'm going to go into Genesis chapter 3, verses 23. And I just want everybody to know my wife is going to be on, Sister Janice Hudson. And she's going to be reading First Chronicles chapter 10 and 12. I'm going to also cover Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7, and John verse 6, chapter 6, verses 12. And basically, like I said, this whole show is going to be outlined, and it's going to be in a couple sections, basically our management, our knowledge, balance, and figuring out the cost. And once we just basically outline everything like that, and basically based on the scriptures, it is going to give us an outline of how we just, you know, realize how we come to the point we are and how we just ultimately always, you know, say, how come I don't have any money? And like I said, in my terms, why I'm not rich, you know. So I'm going to go into Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and I'm going to read that. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. So that's Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And just to break it down real quickly, it said the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work. You know, and, well, basically to work it and take care of it. All right, so we're going to go to the phrase of work it and take care of it. Okay, that's basically God just set us down to the Garden of Eden. God said, okay, I'm going to set you down to the Garden of Eden, you know, to work it. You know, basically, work it, he's like, hey, basically, you know, you're my manager. And, you know, he's talking to Adam. He said, you're my manager. You're going to be the Garden of Eden. and you're going to work it. So basically, he asked Adam to manage the Garden of Eden. So God expects us to manage, okay? That's the very first task that he gave Adam, to manage the Garden of Eden. Okay, and so let's just not, you know, just say, well, God didn't say to Adam, manage the Garden of Eden. No, he didn't have to, because he set a task for to Adam. And he says, basically, you're managing the Garden of Eden. It's up to you. He didn't say whether you fail or succeed. He just said, you're going to manage the Garden of Eden. Okay, here's the garden. You're going to work it. And basically, that's it. So if you work something, you're going to manage it. And, you know, and Eve, you know, was created, you know, to be his companion. So basically, you know, he had somebody to help him work the garden. So he's basically, he put him in charge of, if you take it for what it, for the words are, he gave Adam the management duty of managing the Garden of Eden. So basically, God expects us to manage. And he expects us to be good managers. And like I said, whether he failed or succeed, he put him in the position of being a manager. And just like any other job that we have had, you know, in our lives, and we know that, you know, there are managers set in place. Whether they're good managers or bad managers, they're basically a manager. You know, if you ever try to say, hey, you know, I don't like how the manager's doing this or doing that. You know, and basically if anybody's in charge and they understand a good role of leadership, you know, they'll say, hey, you know, take it to the manager first and then, you know, come back and talk to me. So basically God is saying, hey, you know, this is your life. I'm expecting you to manage your life. It doesn't have to be the Garden of Eden. It doesn't have to be the Olive Garden. It doesn't have to be any other place. But basically, you're set. God expects you to manage. If he expects you to manage a job, don't you think that God expects you to manage your life? So, yes, God expects you to manage. He actually expects you to be a manager. Whether, you know, like I said, whatever station in your life, or whatever you do, he expects you to work, and he expects you to be a manager. So that means if you're not a manager, at some point you will be a manager, and, you know, whether it's a manager at your job or a manager at your home, God expects you to, at some point in your life, to be a manager. So that means you have to manage, you have to do things wisely, and you have to do things efficiently. And that's the key thing. You know, God does not want us to be wasteful in our emotions or in our life. God wants us to be efficient, and I'll elaborate on that later on. But, you know, as far as management, if, you know, if you're a manager right now currently at your employment, or if you was a manager, or at some point you're expected to be a manager, at some point, you know, you're going to be judged on your effectiveness. You're going to be judged on being efficient. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we would love to always be efficient. And, you know, right now at this point, I see I have a caller in the queue. So right now I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, at this point, I said caller to be patient as I move forward in the word that I'm going into right now. And, you know, as I was saying, you know, God wants to expect us to be efficient, okay? And now, you know, if you want to know, you know, what has been placed, you know, basically on our shoulders in this day and time, you know, you still have to be effective. And, you know, no matter what was said or done yesterday or whatever was done in, you know, the Old Testament, you know, basically the whole basics of it still applies. You know, and with, you know, with that right there, you know, I can start, you know, basically another show as far as, you know, being effective and not being wasteful. You know, nothing, you know, as far as the eyesight of God is, you know, wasted, you know, and all throughout, you know, what his preaching was to the disciples. was basically, you know, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what kind of miracles I'm performing, we're not going to be wasteful. We're not going to waste anything. We're not going to, you know, as far as whatever we're doing, one of the things is we're not going to create any kind of waste or any kind of, you know, mismanagement of what we do through miracles, what we do through outreach, what we do through healing. We're not going to be wasteful. And that's the basic part of management. And that's one of the things that God has, you know, made sure that he set forth with the disciples is making sure that they can handle their own self-management on top of that, making sure that the outlines of, you know, whatever he's done through his preaching and his teaching and his healing, made sure that they understand that basically we have to manage, you know, not only ourselves, but manage what happens in the aftermath, making sure that no matter what the outcome is, that there is nothing wasteful done here. Because in the order, in the eyes of, the eyesight of God, you know, everything that is, you know, thought to be thrown away should be recycled. And, you know, just to elaborate real quickly, you know, we have to understand that, you know, when God said to many, you know, he made sure his disciples know that there should be no crumb, you know, left to waste. And let's just focus now on the here and the day. There are sometimes some people that, you know, seem to feel that their life is a waste. But, you know, let me just tell you, like, God does not throw away lives. Or, you know, like I said, we all have a soul, you know, and in that soul, you know, God, you know, he wants to be connected to that soul. You know, no matter what, you know, someone does, it's up to what God decides. And like I said, I can't think for God, and I can't tell you what God thinks, and I don't know what God does, but I know that God does not waste a soul. You know, I know some people believe in reincarnation, but, you know, ultimately that's up to God. You know, for every soul that's here on this earth, God has a connection to it. If he does not have a connection to it, God is not going to throw it away. And God is a God of many chances. So, you know, this is not, you know, my interpretation of, you know, what he does with certain souls. But like I said, this is, you know, my belief and what I've read in the Bible that, you know, God does not throw certain souls, and God is a God of many chances. You know, and there's some things that, you know, in the Bible that you know, that is unforgiving. But, you know, like I said, that's up to, for God's decision. That's not mine. It's not for me to interpret anything. But it's just my feeling. Like I say, it said that God put nothing to waste. So, you know, from right there. And, you know, just the bridge things of, you know, what I'm saying, I'm just going to go ahead and read, you know, the second chapter I have, which is Genesis chapter 3, verses 23. And I'm going to briefly read that. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he has basically been taken. And that goes to what I'm saying for right now. You know, even if you say, well, that was the Old Testament, well, the New Testament, well, we're not in the Garden of Eden now. So right now we are in, you know, the times of where we're at now. And basically, it, the same expectancy is of how he expected us to work the Garden of Eden. He expects us to work right now and here. And he expects the same thing. He expects us to be able to self-manage ourselves. And another part of the self-management part is that now that we're able to self-manage ourselves, is that, you know, like I said, there are many scriptures in the Bible. You don't have to start there in Genesis, but right now it's just to make a point that it is starting in Genesis. And it goes to my second outline of what I was saying, which is knowledge. You know, and it says we all die for lack of knowledge. And why is that? So let me go on to, you know, to the point is that, you know, a short to, you know, to gain, you know, wealth, yes, for all things, you know, is a price, you know, and it starts with, you know, most of the basic things. And most of the basic things is sometimes we always think that there is always a give and take in life. But no, there is not a give and take. You know, God has maintained throughout the time in the Bible that there is no give and take. Yes, for much is given and much is required. But he gave an ultimate sacrifice to us. But we always seem to think in the small part of our mind that there's a notion that we should give up something in order to gain something. Spiritually, yes, that is one of the parts. But other than that, you know, we always think that in order for us to get something, you know, like they say, in order to make money, you have to spend money. That's not true. That is totally not true. You know, that's one of the notions that we have. We have so many different sayings. You know, that notion is just as more effective as, you know, someone once said, you can't even hit a fly with a sledgehammer. I bet you Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone, or one of the strongest guys in the world, I bet you they couldn't hit a fly with a sledgehammer. And they have much muscle to prove, they have much more muscle in their body than most of the average person, and they can't swing a sledgehammer like a fly swatter. You know, so why would someone say you can't hit a fly with a sledgehammer? Well, for one thing, like I said, it's something that has not been proven. It's something that sounds like, wow, that is overwhelmingly, you know, ineffective for a person to even try to attempt to pick up a sledgehammer to hit a fly, because you know how swift a fly is. A fly can be in front of your nose, and you can try to swat it, and you wind up, you know, smacking yourself in the nose. So if a sledgehammer can't be effective hitting a fly, and your hands most of the time can't be effective hitting a fly, what makes you think, you know, something of that notion? And that's some of the notions that we need to start dispelling, some of the things that sounds like a catchphrase, and some of the things that seem to be, you know, something that we get caught up in. You know, and, you know, one of the basic things, like, we get caught up in, we thinking, like, you know, I'll just throw one thing out, like a casino. You know, and I've never seen a saved Christian in a casino. Wait a minute, I can't say that. That's something like what I was just saying earlier. Saints, let me tell you, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. But we don't have to be, you know, be the one to bet the farm, basically, is what I'm saying. You know, the more you put, you know, on the line, you know, the more you have to lose. And that's basically what it is. You know, there is no, let me tell you. Let me just say it like this and put it plain and simple. You know, you don't have to bet the farm to get lucky. You know. And basic knowledge tell you that I'm going to tell you biblically, there's only been three people that God have knowledge for them hitting the jackpot. And, you know, the three people basically that he gave knowledge to, and that was through wisdom and understanding of the stars that he placed in heaven. And that was basically to define our Savior and salvation of the world, and that was Jesus Christ. And he gave that to the three wise men. And you know what he did? He gave that to the three wise men daily, and they had to be diligent because he marked through the stars how they could find the Savior. And when he marked through the stars, he did that to make sure that anybody not diligent in his word, anybody not diligent just working or looking to murder, you know, Jesus Christ when he was born. He made sure. And the reason how he made sure was he marked the coming of the Son of Man, the Son of God through the stars. And the three wise men were one of the ones that were able to track and understand and find, and even up until the second of his birth, find out where he was, and they were bearing gifts. So God made sure carefully that through the diligence of these three wise men, and if they were truly believers of what was to come, that they would diligently track and tread and find. Because don't forget, there were other people prophesizing Jesus' birth. And what they did was they tried to track and predict. These are the same people that come up with the number books, that come up with the dream books, that come up with all other things. Excuse me. And even though they are somewhat close, they're not accurate because, you know, they had set out to murder Jesus Christ before his birth. Even though they found similar women about to give birth at around the same time, fitting the same descriptions, they could not track him down. And why? Because just like, you know, anything God does, that's in his grand design. That's in his grand scheme of where he says, hey, this is how it should be and this is how it shall be. And for that, you know, it would be written. And that's how, you know, that's how it came to pass. And, you know, not to say, you know, any kind of formula or anything that anybody comes up with, you know, just having knowledge does not mean it's divine knowledge. You know, some people think they have formulas or ideas of how to win, but it has not been proven. You know, there are people that come close. There was a guy who was in Nevada that won a jackpot, you know, a multi-million-dollar jackpot twice. And when the Nevada, you know, lottery officials contacted him and said, hey, you won a multi-million-dollar jackpot twice, and we're kind of suspicious. And he says, hey, you know what? I'm surprised I didn't win every day. He says, I came up with this formula, and it seemed to be foolproof, and it involved prime numbers, and it involved certain days of the week and things like that. And he did his research, but he was like, well, you know, basically, you know, I've won back, you know, half of what I spent, you know, trying to win this lottery, you know, trying to win this grand lottery. He said, you know, in my expectancy, I expected to win the lottery, the jackpot, every single night, and I've only done it twice. And he's like, you guys are questioning me why I won and what did I do? Did I cheat or whatever? He said, no, this is totally random. This is the proof that no matter what you do, he says, I've waited at the last second to place my numbers in. I tried to check this. I tried to check that. I had an ephemeris. I had star charts. He had everything. And yet and still, even his best grandest scheme, out of a whole lot of time, it only hit the jackpot twice when he was expected to win the jackpot each and every day. And that goes to show you, even the best laid plans are not to be so unless he makes it so. And, you know, with that being said, I'm going to bring my wife on, Sister Janice. And like I said, she's from Strange the Purpose Kingdom Network. And I would like to read 2 Chronicles. Hey, Janice.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
All right, man. Can you read that scripture for me?
Yes. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thy heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mightest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none other kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you so much, Janice, for reading that. And, you know, it goes to what I was saying. And, Janice, you can stay on the line for a little bit. And, you know, for what I was saying, you know, for much that is required, much is given. The guy says, you know, King David, his father, Solomon's father, was highly favored by God. And God said that, you know, King David was a man of his own heart. And Solomon, you know, follows suit, you know, from his father. So, you know, we also have to realize that, you know, some of the things that our parents instill in us, you know, we carry on, and we have to make sure that we carry, you know, some of the better parts of what our fathers and forefathers have, you know, placed, you know, in front of us. And we have to understand that, you know, with that, you know, we can gain greater knowledge and greater relationship with God, who has, you know, put us forth from earth. And then when we please him, he will grant us, you know, that life most abundant, like he had granted Solomon. And real briefly, Janet, what do you think about
amen.
That?
Well, I know for sure, yes. And basically asking for the knowledge and understanding, yes, God will give you what you ask for. And I do believe that once you ask him for the knowledge and understanding, he will give it to you. I just, reading this just like has me thinking, you know, because those are the first, that's one of the second prayers, you know. As I go down on my knees in prayer, I ask always coming with our Father. Then I always ask for knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I don't know if it came to me as a child growing up, but that was always something that I had asked for, you know, not realizing and understanding that it was in this part of the Bible, you know. So I do believe that when we ask for the knowledge and understanding, God gives it to us, you know, because, yes, I have a lot of wisdom on a lot of things and a lot of knowledge and understanding on a whole lot of things, some things that
amen.
I never even went to school for, you know. And
some things
that I never went to school for, you know, I just saw it firsthand and boom, I know it, you know, and I think it's only by the grace of God. You know.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. That's my lovely wife, Janice Hudson. And like I said, you know, you can hear her every other Monday on Let's Talk About It with her co-host. And Janice, thanks so much. And I'll bring you on a little bit later after I do the call of salvation. I just wanted, you know, the audience to hear your thoughts on that right there, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, love.
All right. And I'm just going to go on to my next basic outline for tonight's show, which is balance. And, yes, God does love the balance, and Solomon did demonstrate that he had the perfect balance between him and God, and also between not only his desires, but desire for what God wanted him to do. And let's just get, you know, this thing, you know, set in motion. You know, we're not rich. And, you know, in order to win a jackpot, you know, it doesn't take, you know, many tries. And, you know, a dollar should do the trick, no matter what you're doing, or just the minimal amount, you know, just buy, you know, one scratch off. You don't have to buy 10, 20, you know, or, you know, one spin of the, you know, the main jackpot. Well, you know, if God wants you to win, you know, he doesn't want you to just use up all of, you know, your precious resources just to get it. You know, God does not like to waste. And I've said it before, but, you know, the devil likes you wasting your time on endless possibilities of false anticipations of, you know, false realities that you think that should be sanctioned onto you. You know, especially, you know, something that you can envision, but it has not been in your vision in the beginning. It was a notion that was placed in your mind. It was just something that you seen what the jackpot number was and the endless possibilities of things all of a sudden are washing in your mind. You know, the wish, you know, these wishes, you know, that we have, you know, the only time, you know, God allows us to find a gold mine, you know, basically is something that you, it would be unexpected. It would be so totally unexpected. It'd be something unassuming that you would do. It would be you, like I said, basically spending the most minuscule of time and wealth on doing. It's nothing that's going to be designed by you. It's nothing that's something that you're going to set in motion or you're going out to do. The only thing you're going out to do is you're going out to start the destruction of your finances, your basic sanity, and basically, you know, your overall undesirable desires, that's what disconnects you from God, basically. And let me just let you understand one thing, okay? When God instantly gratifies you freedom from any kind of debt, or he grants any kind, you know, some kind of wealth, it was for you going through something that was greatly required of you to do, or it was something that was an unfair advantage where the devil snuck through, where it was something that he wanted to make possible. Okay, and, you know, basically, you know, we hear on TV, and we hear the images, and we hear where, you know, if you're financially troubled, or, you know, we're this group or that group, that we can get you out of, you know, bankruptcy, we can get you out of foreclosure, we can do all this and do all that, and then there's this plan that they have, and through all in all, you know, their plans and, you know, their goals of getting you out of debt, or helping you out of trouble, or just doing all that, it involves a great deal of you doing a lot of different kinds of things, as far as either filing for bankruptcy, Chapter 11, you know, Chapter 13, Chapter whatever, and you paying them money for them to help you. But one of the greatest things that, you know, we have to understand is that the greater part of what happens is God can grant us this instantly. God doesn't take 7 years. God doesn't take, you know, a certain amount of money to get out of debt. He doesn't demand anything like that. He just demands our obedience and our trust and understanding in a relationship with him. You know, God is in the saving you business, and he's not trying to shortcut anything. And he just wants your blessings to come your way. You know, he doesn't want any kind of interference. God does not, in the business of interfering. As a matter of fact, if God's going to bless you, he don't even worry about you paying your tithes. And even though you should pay your tithes, and, you know, basically what God is doing when you go out there, and no matter if you're spending your rent money, your electric bill money, your gas bill money, or whatever kind of money that you're supposed to be using to pay for, you know, what God is doing, he's making sure that he's not compromising you. You're God's ultimate product. God has created you to be successful. And as I said before, you know, one of my contributions is success is certain, especially dealing with, you know, the Father there. You know, up in heaven, our Father up in heaven. And one of the things that you want to understand why you're not rich, or why you don't have any money, is because, you know, there are some people that are the very exemplary prime example of why some people should not have money because of the way they act. And, for instance, we can start right at the top. We can start with President Donald Trump. And if you just look right there, you know, and the very reality of it all is that we all could be Donald Trump in certain situations, especially when it comes to money. And even though, you know, we're saying, oh, I would never do that and I would never do that, but you don't have the type of money he has right now. You know, and maybe they, you know, that jackpot that you're waiting to win, maybe God is protecting that jackpot from you. Maybe God knows what's going to happen with that jackpot. Maybe you're going to ask all kinds of fools. And even though right now you say, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. I'll give my tithe or whatever. But, you know, rest assured, you're not a millionaire, you know, for some reasons. And sometimes, you know, God knows, you know, he knows. You know, the reason why he's protecting that jackpot. That jackpot has to be protected, because if you get a hold of that jackpot and he knows what you're capable of doing, Oh, and like they say, God knows. Yes, God knows. So let's not fake the funk, and let's not just say, hey, you know, if I had that type of money, I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that. You know, it takes a well-trained sort of mind for somebody coming into, you know, any kind of big type of sum, you know. And the only thing I think that, you know, you should be able to handle is, you know, this overwhelming is the Holy Ghost. And talking about the Holy Ghost, let's get into the call of salvation. And at this point in time, and let me just thank everybody that's been joining us, and whether you are, you know, overseas, anywhere in the world, you know, I thank you. And if you can or able, you can call into this show at 319-527-6091. And you can press the number one and we get you into the conversation. And, you know, like I said, we thank you so much for joining us. And this is the call of salvation. And if anybody just wants to introduce themselves to God and just want to say, hey, you know, Christ, you know, no matter what's going on in my life, you know, at any point in my life, whether rich or poor, or in bad health or good health, you know, I wish to make sure that I introduce this relationship, or I want to make sure that I am actually bringing this relationship together where you understand that I just want to be one with you. I want you to understand that I understand your greatest sacrifice you did, that you sacrificed your only begotten son to save me from my sins. No matter what sin it was, you know, it doesn't matter. You wanted to save me, and I thank you and appreciate that. You can say it in your own words. You can say it however way you want to do it that pleases your heart to God. You know, and that's you know, that's basically what we want to do. We want to make sure that we please God because he has made us. He created us. He sacrificed for us. And we want to make sure that we understand that his sacrifice was not in vain, that his sacrifice is the kind of sacrifice that we've been looking for in our life, where we can get that reflection and understanding and let him know and acknowledge him and let him know that you have sacrificed greatly. And for much as given, as much as required, you've saved my soul. You've offered my soul a place for salvation. And, you know, once you said that, once you acknowledge that, you know, I suggest you find, you know, a friend, a family member, you can call someone, you can text someone, or you can just shout to the top of your lungs, let them know that you turned over a new leaf in life, that you accepted Christ as your Savior. And, you know, the next step, you know, we suggest you do is you find a Bible-believing preaching sanctuary that nurtures you in the Word of Christ. If you can't find that, that's why we're here at Purpose Kingdom Network. You can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello, send a prayer request, or just, you know, like I said, just say hello. We appreciate that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where you can do likewise. We invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and our advertisements for our upcoming shows. We appreciate each and every one of you that you know, does that. And we thank you so much. And tomorrow evening, with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us at the 9 p.m. hour. I'm not sure who comes on at the 9 p.m. hour. I hope someone will let me know before the end of tonight's program. Let me know who comes on tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. But with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us for that program tomorrow evening. And, you know, we thank you so much for joining us in this fellowship with this Church Without Walls here tonight on our Purpose Kingdom Network. And we thank you. And tonight was episode 1004. And we hope you join us tomorrow evening. This is going to be 1005. And like I said, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow night at the 9 p.m. hour. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go ahead and resume the rest of tonight's program. And so far, let me just go back to what we're doing. And just like I said, we have the 4 points. It's the management, the knowledge, balance, and the cost. And, you know, for everything, you know, there was a guy on, I used to watch WWF wrestling. And this used to be a character called the Million Dollar Man. And he would come in there and say, everybody has a cost for the Million Dollar Man. You know, so, you know, basically for, you know, everything we do, you know, whether right or wrong, or, you know, through our convictions, you know, we have to make sure that we're investing in our, you know, our community and also, you know, in guidance in our community. And there's many ways to do that, you know. And with basically with us basically doing the groundwork, you know, I'm going to go into one more, our last scripture, which is Proverbs 13:7. And I'm going to go ahead and read that. One person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. This is a time to be real. And at this time, you know, well, excuse me for that. Let me just start again. I want to read Proverbs 13:7. I didn't state where it ended, but let me just go ahead again. One person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. You know, amen for that scripture. You know, this is a time for us to be real with our resources, and, you know, and actually be helpful to our fellow mankind. You know, man, God has so many different reasons why, you know, he should just be done with us. But God gives us, you know, precious time and, you know, precious opportunity for us to not only to, you know, invest in, you know, the welfare and well-being of ourselves, but of our children and our community. And one of the best ways to do that is, like I said, understanding the cost. Because sometimes just not understanding the cost, you know, we're not looking to, you know, maximize, you know, some of our efforts here. And, you know, one of the things, on our planet that we do, that we don't do enough is recycling. And is there a better way to do it? Yeah, there were better ways for us to do it, but we, you know, we're looking for what maximize the profit of, you know, our companies. And we're saying in the name of employing people that this is the best way. And I'm not going to harp on that. And I just want to, you know, just right here before, while we got time, and we're going to be looking at one more example. Is basically, you know, as I want to, you know, incorporate into what was said in John 6:12. And so I'm going to read that scripture, and then we're going to go on from there. You know, when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." And like I said, you know, God understands that, you know, there should be nothing wasted. And one of the things that we do is we waste money. And so let me just, you know, before we end tonight's program, let me just see if I can, you know, bring some knowledge to somebody and see if we can incorporate some kind of savings in our lives, you know. And basically, we should be looking to save money. And if you're looking to save money, let's just stop right there and just stay with ourselves. You know, would you like to save, you know, some money? And all I want to do is I want to start off small. And then, you know, hey, if, you know, whatever I say, you know, or as I start running things down the line, if that pertains to you, just, you know, you don't have to hit one. Or if you do want to hit one, just hit one. And even, you know, you can share with me real quickly. But the thing is, I just want to acknowledge that some of the things that we all keep saying that we have a shortfall of money, but there's some things that we waste our money on. So let me just real quickly just say, hey, you know, right now today, and I'm just going to be there on average, you know, so if you get coffee, you know, and let's just say your coffee is $4 a day or $4 per week, five days a week, it averages out to $4 a day. A week, that's $20. So every year, if you added the price of coffee, a cup of coffee, it's going to be $1,040. And just think of, you know, what you can do for $1,040 a year. And let's just say you have iTunes or any kind of music service, that usually round up to $24 a year, $24 a month. And yearly, that adds up to $288. Okay, and let's say you have Netflix or Hulu. you know, and that usually rounds up to like $300 a year based on, you know, their monthly inflation, whether you're, you know, friendly user or whatever, how they word it. And let's just say, you know, for those that smoke cigarettes, okay, and let's just say you smoke a pack every other day. And let's just say, you know, your pack, you know, every other day rounds up to $40 a week. You know, per year, that's $2,080. Okay, and let's say you like alcohol. Not a lot, but a little bit. Say you just visit happy hour every, you know, weekly event or whatever. And let's just say your weekly spending is going to be $25. So every year you're spending $1,300. Okay, and let's not forget our happy-go-lucky weed smokers. Average weed smokers spend about $50 a week. And if you add that up per year, that's going to be $2,600. And let's say you like the triple play cable, no matter between Comcast and Verizon, you know, they play all the joiners and you get the $99 per month. Well, that averages out to $1,200 a year. And let's just say you're just an average family that, you know, every once in a while you order takeout, and the average family spends $85 per week. And that's based on two adults and three children. And if you have an additional child, you can add $10 per week. So now we're looking at $4,420 for just eating takeout with your family. Okay, so now let's not forget our vegan friends. Okay, so if you're a vegetarian and you have a vegetarian diet, the average vegetarian spends $130 per week for food. And for that lifestyle, you're basically spending $6,700 per year. And I'm not just saying discourage vegetarians, but that's basically, you have to know the cost. And that's basically the cost of being a vegetarian, because the base on prices, because I guess basically vegetarians eat organic food. And so let's not forget the people that drive a car. So if you drive a car, and, you know, basically for your average maintenance and insurance, it basically rounds out to $92 per week. And per year, that adds up to $6,884. And, you know, basically, that's some of the, I can go into basic details, the basic numbers. And, you know, just for, you know, the effect of the show, I want to ask my wife what she thinks about those numbers real quickly before we end the show. So, hey, how you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, how I feel about which part? The saving
As far as the, I spouted out some numbers, but did any numbers shoot into your head like, wow?
Yeah, a lot of them.
I can imagine.
I know we can save, you know, actually, I know we can stop the eating out, because we do eat out a whole lot. And, yes, I didn't realize it was that kind of money being spent.
Yes, especially on, you know, like I said, when you add, you know, the $10 per extra person besides, you know, the two adults and three, you know, and three kids. You know, basically, and like you said, you know, and basically my point is just the awareness and just to point out, and, you know, sometimes some things that seem to be just a little bit average or just a little bit simple, it seems to be all of a sudden now it's a difficulty.
Yeah.
So with that being said, my lovely wife, I'm going to be closing out tonight's show. And I just want to let everybody know that, you know, with this being said, it's just not any kind of discouragement. It's just an encouragement. And I want everybody to be encouraged. You know, this is, you know, basically a snapshot of, you know, what you can do. It's basically a sounding board, or just basically a vision to give you or basically an overall understanding of, you know, sometimes where we are and where we need to be. And sometimes there is that much of a gap that we have to see that for ourselves. And with, you know, with that being said, I love doing this. And I guess my next show, you know, I'm on every other week with Self Expressions. And don't forget, the second Friday of next month, it will be the Self Expressions edition of sports. Can't wait to see you. As always, this has always been fun. And I'm going to say deuces.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.